So, we're getting ready to start our new series. Here we go, Exploring Exodus, an Adventure of Hope, an expository series going through this book of the Bible. A couple different ways that you can approach the teaching of Scripture. One of them is a topical way, and we've done a lot of that through the years. You know, we're going to spend 6 weeks on prayer, or we're going to spend a few weeks on the church, or, you know, Jesus called, he wants his church back. Series on the Bible, series on marriage, series on finances, and nothing wrong with those, okay, per se. And in fact, when we go through this series, there may be some times where we take a, you know, kind of a time out from Exodus, because I just really feel a prompting from the Lord, like, hey, we may need some teaching on this for a few weeks, and then we'll get back to Exodus, because I suspect we're going to be in Exodus for a while. So there's a topical approach, and then there's an expository approach. An expository approach is where we take a book of the Bible, and we just unpack it. We just go verse by verse by verse, and the text drives the themes. And so where the text takes us is where the text takes us. And so we're very excited about going through the book of Exodus. We'll talk a little bit more as to why Exodus and what prompted us to go that direction. But we want to really encourage you to be in prayer for this series. A lot of you were with us when we went through the book of James. We went through the book of James. It was our last expository series. It took us 26 messages to get through James. It was 5 chapters, okay? So you can do the math, all right? We're probably going to be in Exodus for a while, but super excited about all that we have in store. As we go through this series, couple of quick things. Number one, we have an app. So if you have an iPhone or an Android phone, I really want to encourage you, and you've probably used it before. We actually have 615 people that use the church app, so thank you for that. And the notes, the outline is all there, and there's going to be a lot of information, a lot of scripture, a lot of different things that we may not be able to touch on in the message itself, but all those will be found in the notes. I want to encourage you even now. Go and look it up. It's free. Download it, and you can check out the outline. It also has our weekly prayer list on there, our church calendar. It's got a link to our YouTube channel. I mean, there's just tons of stuff on our app. So if you haven't checked that out yet, you know, please do so. We hope that'll be a help. The other thing that we're going to do, which I wish we would have done when we went through James and we didn't, is we've got these notebooks. We're going to give out these notebooks starting next week, just message series notebooks. So in your bulletin, there's the outline. There's the discussion question. We'll make a little hole punch available for you in the back if you want to do that. And so the idea is, you know, by the time we're done with the series, you'll have Exodus. You know, you'll have Exodus right at your fingertips, and we hope that'll be an encouragement. So I've got a couple of samples, so who wants one? Kelly? All right. Sorry, first hand that I saw. I was going to throw them in the crowd, but they're kind of sturdy. I was, like, afraid I was going to, like, impale someone and get sued. So, all right, Amber, here you go. There you go.
I won today.
So the plan is to have more next week. We got to do better than $6.49 at Staples, okay? There's just no way we're spending that kind of money on these notebooks. So hopefully Amazon will be our friend, and we'll have several back here for you next week to take with you. And we hope that'll be a help and a blessing, okay? Okay, so today pretty much an introduction. We're just going to kind of introduce the book. Share some background information, and really take the time to set the stage in getting ready for this journey, this adventure. Now, let's start this way this morning. If you have, because I think we're all familiar with taking a trip and what it means to take a trip. If you have ever taken a trip outside of the city that you live in, please stand up. If you have ever taken a trip outside of the city you live in, please stand up. Okay, if there's anybody sitting down, like, we're going to sponsor you a trip to Marysville or something, okay? Like, get out of your city. Go somewhere. We got a compassion fund. We will help you get to Marysville, okay, or whatever you need to go. Okay. All right. So stay standing. You've taken a trip out of states. You've been outside the state of California. So you've never been outside of California. Sit down. Okay. Just find everybody. Okay. Now country, okay? If you've never left the country, sit down. So everyone is standing, has been out of the country at some point. That is really, it was same thing in first service. It was like a majority. All right, cool, very good. Have a seat, everybody. Thank you. Look, there's a big difference between taking a trip out of country than just driving to Sacramento for the afternoon, right? There's a big difference from driving to Sacramento for an afternoon and just heading over to Marysville for Jimmy John's or Panda Express or something that we don't have over here in Yuba City. Okay, there's a big difference. This past summer, I had the opportunity to travel with my daughter to Australia for a basketball competition, and we had a really great time. But let me tell you, traveling to Australia for 2 weeks is way different than going to Sacramento for the afternoon, okay? It's not like you just wake up in the morning and you're like, I'm going to Australia. Let's go. And there's a lot of things that you have to do, okay? First thing you got to do, you got to get your passport, okay? If you don't have your passport, you've got to get a passport, and preferably you get it longer than 72 hours before you leave like I did. Please forgive me for my procrastination. Please let everything work out as I'm sitting in the office, you know, at the San Francisco passport office, you know, waiting for my passport. You got to get a passport. You go to another country, maybe it's got different, you know, plugs. Like Australia has different plug-ins. You can't just like plug in something here. In Australia, you got to get an adapter for it because you got to have something to charge your phone, right? You can't not go without your phone. So you got to get that. When you get there, you've got to get your money exchanged. There's a lot you have to do to prepare for your time away, particularly if you're taking a long, far journey, okay? This is going to be a long, far journey. And so there are some things I'd like us to think about and prayerfully consider as we begin this adventure ahead, okay? And you can jot them down in your notes. Check it out. As we begin this series, we prayerfully ask you to, number one, encourage others. Encourage others, okay? There are a lot of empty seats in this room this morning, okay? These chairs need to be filled by people in your life who are far from God and need to be brought closer. Encourage other people. Encourage your friends. Encourage your family. Encourage your neighbors. Encourage your coworkers. Encourage your classmates. Hey, come check out Adventure Church. We'd love for you to come and see what God is doing here, okay? Encourage others. Number two, enter the building. Come to church. Be a part of what we're going to be all learning together. Look, we make it very clear. We never want to be legalistic about this kind of thing. Okay, God loves you as much as he is ever going to love you. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do that's going to make God love you less. If you're his child, he loves you. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay? But God wants you in church because that's his design. It's not my design. This is not my idea. It's God's design that we come together in fellowship, in community, for worship and for teaching. That's the pattern in the New Testament. Now, stuff is going to come up. My wife isn't here today. She's homesick with our daughter. My daughter's got 103 temperature. We don't want her around here. You don't want her around here. And so she's at home today. But I want to encourage you to let absences be the exception and not the rule. Let me really encourage you to make that commitment. Enter the building. Be in church. Number three, when you come, expect blessing. Expect that God is going to do something. Expect that God is going to show up. Expect that God is going to reveal something to you that is going to impact you and is going to be meaningful to you as you continue to live your life. Your outlook will often determine your outcome. And then number four, engage later. Engage later. Don't keep this teaching and don't keep what we're going to learn together just within these four walls, okay? On the back of each one of the notes, okay, there's going to be a page that says small group life application discussion questions, okay? So we've got a couple different small groups that are going through a sermon-based, you know, model of small groups. Ours in Plumas Lake, we meet tonight. There's a men's group that meets on Wednesday. There may be more, you know, as time goes along. But if you're not involved in a small group and you just can't or whatever the reasons are, take that and use it through the week. Like I said, there's going to be a lot of stuff that we don't get to on Sunday morning that we want to make available to you. And so I'd encourage you, use that. Take, you know, use it as your devotional time. Husbands, wives, use it as a time you can dive in a little bit deeper. Engage in the teaching of the book of Exodus. So just four things I'd like you to prayerfully consider as we begin this series today. Okay? So, everybody ready? Ready to go? All right, here we go. Let's stand together. We're going to read the first seven verses, Exodus chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. The Bible says this: These are the names of the sons of Israel who came to Egypt with Jacob, each with his household: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. All the descendants of Jacob were 70 persons. Joseph was already in Egypt. Then Joseph died and all his brothers and all that generation. But the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong so that the land was filled with them. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you for this book of the Bible. Bless this series. Bless our understanding. Lord, help us to take some things away today that will encourage us and help us. And Lord, for each one that's here this morning, I ask your blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. So let's start out. We're going to start just with some background information. This is going to be some nuts and bolts stuff. Hang with me. We're going to have some takeaways in just a moment. If you find this kind of stuff dry, some people love this kind of stuff, some people don't. But we want to make sure we take the time to give a little bit of background information on the book, okay? First off, you've got the writer. The writer is Moses, okay? The writer is Moses. There's external evidence for this. There are other people throughout Scripture, throughout history, that have identified Moses as the writer of these books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the book of the law. You have Joshua, you have Malachi, you have John, the Apostle Paul, and Jesus, throughout his ministry in the Gospels, references back to Moses as being the writer of these books. Now, I've got all those scriptures. They're in the app. So if you want to look up those scriptures later, they're all there. Okay? There's also internal evidence. Many portions of the book of Exodus attributed directly to Moses. It's just like Moses is saying, Moses is writing, Moses is proclaiming, Moses is communicating. Okay, and there are many references that indicate Moses would have been the writer. So pretty much generally accepted. There's always going to be some kind of like, I'm not sure if it was Moses, it might have been somebody else. But by and large, by far a preponderance of the evidence, Moses is the writer of this book. Okay, written about 1445 B.C. Okay, 1445 B.C. covers the period of time from the arrival of Jacob's family in Egypt, which would have been around 1875 B.C., to the construction of the tabernacle at the end of the book of Exodus, so about 430 years. Hopefully it won't take us that long to get through the book, okay? But that's the span of time that we're talking about as we look at the book of Exodus, okay? The theme of the book, God's powerful deliverance and presence. God's powerful deliverance and presence. It begins with God's deliverance of the people from bondage and ends with his presence among them in the tabernacle. And such a fascinating, I don't know when we're going to get there, but the study of the tabernacle, it's awesome. It's so good, okay? The key word is redemption. Redemption. The people were released from bondage in Egypt and into a covenant relationship with God. So important. It was not just they're free and they're released from bondage. They were released from bondage and into a covenant relationship with God. So important. And we'll unpack that as we go along, okay? And then the key verses, chapter 6 and verse 6 and chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. In fact, let me read them for you here quickly. Exodus 6 and verse 6 we read, "Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment." Chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." So 6:6 and 19:5 and 6. So again, some background, some nuts and bolts, some more scripture and references in the outline that's on the app, okay? Now, in the closing minutes that we have together, okay, want to take some takeaways, okay? Want to take the opportunity in these first kind of introductory thoughts and verses of Exodus chapter number 1 and some things that we can take away with us this morning that we hope will be a help and encouragement, okay? So takeaway number one, God's presence is constant. God's presence is constant. He is constant when the world is changing. Can I get an amen? Amen. He is constant when the world is changing. Think about how our world and our lives are always in such a state of flux, ups and downs, and so many changes. We see it with our friends. You know, it's pretty rare that we have friends for decades of time. You know, we go through different seasons of life, and sometimes our friendships change through the years. We certainly see it in families as new babies are born into families, as grandparents and other family members pass away, the family dynamic changes. There are marriages where families are blended together. There are divorces. There are all sorts of things that happen in our families that cause this state of flux to happen. God is constant. We see it in church sometimes. You know, sometimes you just like, you know, I'm just not quite connecting, or I'm just needing something a little bit different. And so we make a change when it comes to where we're worshiping and what community that we're fellowshipping with. We see it sometimes with our weight. That's all I'm going to say. We see it with, think about the grand display that we have had this week about the change in our nation. And some of you are really excited about that, and some of you are really devastated by that. Believe me, my Facebook feed tells me so, okay? All right? So regardless of where you are on that spectrum, okay, there's no denying it's a new day. It's a new time. We're in a completely different place than where we were. Change. God's presence is constant. There is nothing about his presence that changes as it relates to the things that are happening here. So let's answer the why Exodus question, okay? So we did the book of James, year, 18 months, whenever we started James. 65 other books of the Bible to choose from, 65. And so I just was really, I'm praying. I don't have some office telling me Exodus is the next one. I'm praying. I'm asking God, like, what do you want me to share with our people? What do we need? And so I was just really, God was just really impressing upon me the Old Testament. And so last summer, we did a series on the minor prophets. Remember that? It was 12 Sundays. We did 12 minor prophets. We did a survey. We did an overview of every minor prophet throughout the entire summer. And I had kind of hoped that would have, like, scratched that itch. Okay, God, I did the Old Testament. Done. Moving on now to Colossians or whatever. God's like, nope, not done. Not done in the Old Testament. And so he just kept laying upon my heart Exodus. And I think one of the reasons why is because I am fascinated by the constant presence of God in the midst of such great upheaval and change in the lives of people. Because I see it in our nation, I see it in our world, I see it in our church, I see it in our community. It's change. And we need to be reminded that God is constant. Think about this. When you think about God, just in relation to what we're talking about here in Exodus, God is God. He is God when they're in the land of protection. Okay, they're in Egypt. They've been protected. He is God when they're enslaved. He is God when they are delivered. He is God when they are wandering. And he is God when they arrive. He is God throughout all of the flux of the life of the people. He is God. And as I pray for our church and as I think about where I want us to be enamored and in awe of God. It's not just this fuzzy feeling, ethereal thing. God. Isaiah 6. Remember Isaiah 6, in the year of the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I want us to see the Lord. I want us to know that no matter where we are in life, no matter what is going on with your friends, with your family, with your church, with your nation, God's presence is constant. So as I pray this prayer, I pray a lot of prayers for this church. And I pray for you all by name every week. I pray for this church family. I pray for our leaders. One of the things I pray is that we would fulfill our mission statement over here on the wall. Lord, help us to help others become loving followers of Jesus Christ who are connecting to you and connecting to others, who are growing in their faith and fellowship, who are serving both in our congregation and out in our community, and who are reaching locally and globally with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's one of my prayers. Let me give you another one, okay? Throw it up on the screen. My prayer for you, that you would live in the light of God's presence. I pray this almost every Wednesday morning when we gather here for prayer at 7, and we'd love to have more, by the way, okay? 7 o'clock Wednesday morning, we gather for prayer. I pray this almost every Wednesday morning when we gather. Lord, help our people to live in light of your presence. May we not compartmentalize our faith. May we not just, you know, we're here to worship God, we're here to fellowship, and then we kind of just go on our way. We kind of go back to do our thing. No, every single day, every moment of your day, I want you to know that you are loved, that you are forgiven, that you are redeemed, that God has a plan for your life. Live in the light of God's presence. It is constant. It is always there. This is one of the reasons why I'm such a strong advocate for Christian music and having Christian music in your life. Because it's just a great, wonderful opportunity to have psalms and hymns and spiritual songs just always, you know, in your mind. So whether it's Air One or K-Love or The Fish or CDs or podcasts or whatever it is, you know, to find ways to incorporate that in your life so that the presence of God, you'll just be reminded of the presence of God in your life. Now, I'm not saying that if you have to listen exclusively to Christian music, like if you listen to anything other than Christian music, hey man, when I'm going on a road trip, it's Backstreet Boys for me, you know? Come on. You know, that's road trip music there, okay? And when Tracy drives, it's country, and I'm like, oh man. Anyway, so she ain't here, and we're not Facebook live streaming this service, so let's keep that between us, okay? Okay. But listen, fill your life with reminders of the presence of God. Fill your life with reminders of his presence. His presence is constant. One of the takeaways. Number two. God's story is continuing. God's story is continuing. In every sense of the word, the book of Exodus is a sequel to the book of Genesis. In fact, in some early manuscripts, you know, the Hebrew manuscripts, the first word of the book of Exodus is now, which is a conjunction word that actually turns the corner, that clearly indicates that we're going from this book to the next book, and it's a continuation of the story. These first 7 verses of Exodus chapter 1, they are the Star Wars opening crawl, okay? This is what's kind of happening behind the scene. This is the continuation. Like, in case you've forgotten where we were at, this is going to bring you up to speed to where we are, okay? God's people, they're no longer in the land of Canaan. Now they're in the land of Egypt. God has protected them through the hand of Joseph, and we're getting ready to tell a brand new chapter in the story of the people of Israel. So a couple quick things. First, the historical context. A lot of information in this in your the life application questions in your handout this morning. So we'll just touch on them briefly. Historical context. Let me share 3 things. Number one, God's covenant. Okay, so God had made a covenant with his people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for a land and for blessing. I'm going to give you this land, okay? That promise hasn't gone away, by the way, but that's another message, okay? I'm going to give you this land. This is my promise to you that you will receive this land and you will receive this blessing. We see it continue to transfer to all of his descendants. We see God's covenant. Number two, there's Joseph's journey. Throughout the course of much of the book of Exodus, or the book of Genesis, you have Joseph, one of Jacob's children, who goes from the favored son. Remember, he was the favorite, and all his brothers hated him. They were all jealous of him. He got the coat of many colors. He went from the favored son to the outcast, They threw him in a pit. We're trying to figure out what they were going to do with him. To a slave, they sold him into slavery. He's sold into slavery. He goes to Egypt. He's serving in Potiphar's house. He's falsely accused. He's thrown into prison. So he goes from favored son to outcast to slave to prisoner, and then from prison rises from that place to be made a ruler in the land of Egypt to then save his family. You talk about a flux and change and God's presence being constant. You see it in the life of Joseph, for sure. Okay, and then we get to the last one, the people's salvation, which is what we see leading into chapter number one here. He saved his family from the famine, and they settled in Egypt. So those are some of the things, super quick. Those are some of the things that gets the people where we find them in Exodus chapter number one. So that's the historical context. The second thing, notice this, okay? He is not done with your story. God's story is continuing. He is not, I don't care where you've been, I don't care where you are today, I don't care where you think you're going, God is not done with your story. God is not finished with you. As long as there is breath in your lungs, God has got a plan for your life. Man, don't be discouraged. Don't live in discouragement. Don't let the enemy whisper in your ear that you are done, that you are finished, that you're washed up. God's story continues. We see it in the lives of the people of Israel, and we see it in our own lives as well. He is not done. Number three, lastly, God's blessing is sometimes, in parentheses, complicated. God's blessing is sometimes complicated, okay? What do we see in these verses? We see the people of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly. They multiplied and grew exceedingly strong so that the land was filled with them. We see incredible prosperity with his people in their new land. Now they're in the land of Egypt, and God's blessing is upon them. They are being fruitful and multiplying. They are becoming strong. They go from, some historians estimate that they started with 70, and by the time of the Exodus, there were over 2 million in the people of Israel in this time frame. They were blessed. They were blessed. But that became a problem. That became a problem. The place of protection. Remember, Egypt was the place of protection. They were in the land of Canaan. Famine came. Joseph saves them, brings them to his land, the land of Egypt. The place of protection became a seat of suffering. The place of protection became a seat of suffering. Things are about to change. Fortunes are about to turn. Blessing is about to turn into suffering. Why is this significant? Why is this such an important takeaway for us today? Because sometimes we can become so focused on the blessing that we forget the focus on the God who may have something else in store for us down the road. Man, be grateful for the blessing. Be thankful for the prosperity. But if your focus is fixed on that and not on the Father, there might be trouble right around the bend. There were for these people. They were right exactly where they'd been led. God saved them. God blessed them. They prospered them. And then, boom, here comes suffering. Here comes trial. Here comes tribulation. Here comes enslavement. Here comes attempted genocide in the same place in which they had been protected. What does Job say? What do we learn from Job? The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job learned the lesson that we need to learn and that we will learn one way or another. The blessing is sometimes transient. God is constant. Blessed be his name. So when we find ourselves in blessing or we find ourselves in suffering, blessed be the name of the Lord. His blessing is sometimes complicated. God, you brought me to this place. You brought me, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. You are providing for me. You are blessing me. I am prospering. What are you doing? Has anybody ever asked that to God? What are you doing? But remember this, there would be no Exodus if there had been no suffering. There would be no Exodus. There would be no great demonstration of his power and of his presence without the suffering that is to come. So how do we deal with this? How do we deal with that suffering? How do we deal with the tragedies of life? How do we deal with, if God were so, you know, if God were so good and God were so powerful, how come I'm suffering? How come his people suffer? How come there's so much evil in the world? Well, I'm glad you asked. You need to come back next week. All right? Cliffhanger next week. All right? The next verse is, it's a burdensome life. And we're going to start in verse number 8 and read down through verse number 22. And we're going to unpack the very different circumstances that are now coming upon his people, where they go from a place of blessing and protection to a place of suffering and trial and enslavement and attempted genocide, and how we deal with those things. In closing, let me just share this, and then we'll pray. One of the challenges of a series like this, and I hope that you'll pray for me. It's a daunting task to do this. But one of the challenges of an Old Testament series in particular is, you know, you're reading through the Old Testament, and while the fingerprints of the Lord are clearly all through it, I want to be very intentional about invoking the name of Jesus in every one of these messages. We're going to conclude with that intentional invocation of his name. For Jesus is the name above all names. We are made right because of, we are forgiven because of, we have this new family because of, we have a peace in our hearts because of, we are assured of God's constant presence because of, we are assured of God's continuing story in our lives because of, we are assured of God's blessing even when it sometimes gets complicated because of Jesus. Hey, if you don't know Jesus, if you've never turned to him and asked him to come into your life, I trust that you'll do that even today, just in these final moments of service. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Thank you for being here today. And I hope that you will do all that you can to get prepared, pack a bag, get your passport, do all that's necessary, encourage others, enter the building, expect blessing, engage later as you leave today, and let's look forward to all the things God is going to teach us as we go through this series together. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the time this morning. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your constant presence. Thank you for continuing your story in our lives. Thank you for the blessing. And Father, when the blessing gets complicated, help our attention and focus to be upon you during such times. Because we never know when trial and struggle is right around the corner. I pray that you would encourage each one here today. And Father, if there's someone here today that needs this message and needs the touch from your Spirit today, Father, I pray that you would just move in their heart and move in their life. And if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, may they today call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Father, thank you for this book. Bless this study. Continue to work in our hearts. And we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Thank you so much for being here today. God bless you. Thanks for being here for message number one of however many. Let's stand together. Jeff's going to lead us out.